2,600 kilometres to the northwest of Perth is Christmas Island. It's one of the furthermost territories in Australia, but it hosts a fascinating ecosystem of crabs, a diverse population, but it's also home to immigration detention centres. Now, this has inspired a documentary called The Island of Hungry Ghosts, which recently took out the Best Doco Award at the Tribeca Film Festival. It's a very poetic film, probes both the extraordinary beauty of the island associated with the migrations of all those red crabs, with the many marooned asylum seekers unable to leave the island. On the line to speak to us all about it and talk about her debut feature is filmmaker Gabrielle Brady. Good afternoon, Gabrielle.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for joining me. Yeah, thanks for joining us here on 2SER. Very exciting, to have a debut film out, which is always huge, especially a feature film, but also to win awards. You've won the Best Documentary Award at the Tribeca Film Festival and the Darwin International Film Festival, Adelaide Film Festival. How stoked are you?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I think there's always that sense of every film is a bit of a miracle because so little of the films actually get made, and then to know that it's actually being seen and recognised is a fantastic feeling for all of us that were part of making the film.
Now, the haunting film, it mixes the nature of wonder of the island with the stories of the refugees imprisoned there, with some beautifully photographed images which also chronicle the island and all of its aspects. What is it that first drew you to Christmas Island?
Yeah, so actually the central character of the film is Pauline Lee, who's a torture trauma counsellor who'd been working with people seeking asylum in the detention facility for about 3 years before I'd come to the island. And Pauline is actually a very good friend of mine. So I was living at the time in Indonesia and she said, why don't you come across for a holiday? And so I really went across as a tourist and I spent these 3 weeks exploring Christmas Island really as you would on holidays. And at the very end of that time, Poe said to me, you know, but there is something I need to show you. And so we went out to this lookout point. We had the big machete, which you do need if you're on Christmas Island because it's so overgrown. Huh? And we cut our way through this very dense jungle, arriving at this lookout point, of course, of the detention facility. It's the only place where you can actually see it on the island. And it was just one of those really striking, kind of chilling moments of realizing that for those 3 weeks, I almost could have forgotten that it existed because it's really been built to not be seen. It's very hidden. And I had to think about all the people that were in there that had been in there for several years and that feeling of having been forgotten. And it really stayed with me. Yeah. And then, of course, me and Pauline started many conversations about how it would be if we began to respond to what was going on in the form of a film.
So you're saying that the facility there on Christmas Island is so remote that you had to hack your way there with a machete. Is it like that on purpose? Is it sort of hidden away so that tourists don't see it?
I don't want to speculate, but you can of course access it more easily by car, but to actually see a full view of it, the only place is in this one lookout point that has been deliberately overgrown, and it's at the complete other end of the island. Christmas Island is quite a small place, but at one end is where everybody lives, and at the other end, really within the jungle, is the detention facility. So it's really being built very much away from the community and where people live.
So you're friends with Pauline, and obviously she's a trauma specialist and has been working at the centre there. And you would have got I think the doco shows a glimpse of the frustration that she feels sort of working with the government sort of perceives her work as a patchwork solution. And then they largely ignore her recommendations. How long has she been sort of battling with this? And does she ever sort of make any progress in maybe, you know, getting these people better accommodation or move somewhere else? What's that like for her?
As I mentioned, by the time, you know, Poe and I were beginning to talk about what would it be like if we made a film, Poe had been there for about 3 years. And I think, you know, she really describes that at the beginning of her time there, it was really challenging. You know, in that people were being placed in the detention facility, the conditions were very difficult to live in. But after some months, people were leaving with visas to go to Australia.
Okay.
By the time she finished up her time there, people weren't leaving anymore. They were really living in a state of indefinite detention. And I think that's really where this sense of maybe helplessness or hopelessness started to siphon into her work. And that's really where she started to question, you know, can I continue on here? So, you know, this was really something that she observed over time, the deterioration of what she was able to do, the ways that she was able to assist people that were being detained.
Yeah, yeah. It must really sort of wear at you after a while, you know, working in that sort of environment day in, day out. I can't imagine what it's like.
Sorry, I was just going to say that, you know, and I think that's also what the film does, is that we're really taken into that very private side of what it's like to be at the forefront of wanting to kind of be assisting people, but not being, you know, and having your hands tied. And really that's what Poland was facing over those years, right up until the very end, was I'm here to be a counsellor to these people, but I'm actually not able to do that anymore because the system's not allowing me to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It's great that this documentary is sort of going to be looking into this and revealing it, and people are responding to it, obviously, by seeing the film and appreciating or understanding what's happening or what has happened on Christmas Island in the past. Now, there's a scene in the movie where Poe's daughter questions her when she finds out she can't camp near the centre, which sees that her daughter is shocked that people could be confined for years at the facility. But how do people off Christmas Island perceive the refugees that they host?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really complex question. And, you know, I think it's hard to kind of answer on behalf of a whole community of people. I think it's varied. It's also such an ongoing story. This is something that locals on Christmas Island have been seeing, you know, on and off for the past almost two decades. Mm. And of course, now with the Prime Minister of our country arriving to Christmas Island and locals not even kind of knowing about that ahead of time, I think there's an exhaustion. But there's also a range of feelings in between that. I think, you know, a lot of people were also employed by the detention centre. A lot of people were visiting people being detained there. There's a range of different feelings and emotions. I think it's very varied, like any kind of community.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's very topical because, as we know, Scott Morrison is looking to reopen the centre. I can't imagine. Well, I don't know. I mean, there is probably money that flows towards the island when the centre is operating, but would the residents really see any of that money, or would they see any benefit to it?
I wouldn't know, you know, not being a local there myself, but I think, you know, with, you know, what's been happening the last couple of days and some of the responses coming out of the island has very much been, okay, if there are, you know, new health facilities being put in on the island, will the locals actually see any of that? Is this something that will actually seep into Christmas Island community? And I think while I was there, I definitely observed that there was some frustration in that, you know, that's also a community living there as well. And there's often no unity between what decisions are being made on a federal level and what people actually see in the local community. So, I mean, it's hard to answer myself not being there. But I think, yeah, there would definitely be that question of, will this serve the community? You know, why is this actually happening?
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we've talked about that side of the documentary, but there's also this strangely beautiful nature that happens on Christmas Island, these red crabs that travel pretty much from one side of the island to the other. What was it like being within those crabs and seeing that actual amazing phenomenon occur?
It is incredible. You know, I think actually the very first time I was there was during the migration of the crabs, and it was one of those moments as well that allowed me to see that this could be a film. It played as such an incredibly strong metaphor for these ideas of migration and movement. You know, so I think visually, of course, as a filmmaker, you're always thinking about how can this be a visual story. Yeah. And I really saw that in the crabs. I mean, there's somewhere between, you know, 40 to 60 million of them moving from the jungle down to the ocean every year. It's really one of those natural phenomena where you kind of stop and you feel quite small actually in the face of it.
Yeah.
It is really this kind of epic display of nature.
And I love the way that, like you said, it's a metaphor for the migration and that beauty and poetry of nature sort of lends itself into the story that you've blended. I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. It's screening at Golden Age Cinema here in Sydney this Friday night at 5 o'clock. There's a whole bunch of other screenings as well. We've got Saturday the 16th of March at 3, Wednesday the 20th of March at 6, and Tuesday the 26th of March at 6:20. But do a search for it and you'll find, I'm sure, more dates will pop up here and there. Just one more question. I just wanted to quickly... It might not be a simple answer, but the island of hungry ghosts. What's the hungry ghost referring to?
Part of me wants to leave that hanging for people to go to see the film.
Fair enough.
The hungry ghosts are wandering spirits on the island who haven't found a way home. And this is a tradition and a ritual that's carried out by some of the locals that live on Christmas Island. And for those people that go to see the film, they'll get more of a sense of that when they watch the film.
Well, there we go. That's a great, fantastic reason to go and check it out. The Island of Hungry Ghosts. Gabrielle, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
No worries.